Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 625 of the LeagueCast podcast. I am your host, Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockards.
Hey, how's it Stop going? It.
Colton Sweat.
I'd prefer if you did like a 4 second pause between my first and last name.
And Chris Puner. He's back. The boy's back.
Hey, I'm back again. It's hard to tell if I invited myself or I was invited at this point in time, but does it really both, matter? Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, on this episode, we've got some LeagueCast news, a tiny little bit of new news, and then we're going to jump straight into the Guaranteed Guffaws. We've got some stuff there that's going to be pretty fun. A little bit of competitive league roundtable and mail fight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. Very little League of Legends, but that always makes it better, right? Especially on the League podcast. I have been playing a lot of other games, though. I finished Tiny Tina's Wonderland today, actually, on my lunch.
How was that?
It was great. It was looter shooters are just fun, man. Like, they're just brainless fun. Especially when you don't pay for them from, I guess, paid for PS Plus or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it's free because I paid for it 20 months ago, something like that, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, so, boy math. Yeah. Other than that, though, just a little bit of League of Legends, you know, ARAMs with Kennedy and a couple of you, had some fun playing some games with some other friends for League, but just pretty casual play. Still no ranked. I'm still playing no ranked in Solidarity, and I've been feeling good. I feel like I'm a healthier person because of it.
Played a couple normal games too, which is fun.
I know. League's fun too.
You had the least amount of fun until the game was over.
Oh my, dude, I had some rough games. That is the one issue with me playing like less League, is that the games where I want to win and I'm doing poorly myself feel worse because it feels preventable if I was like actually playing like properly. But other than that, I've been good. Nothing too much to update. What about you, Colton?
So I, at the beginning of the week, I was playing about the same amount of ranked, ended up having like a pretty bad day of games, kind of 2 days in a row, and ended up falling down to D1. I'm like D1 30 or so points, I think. So taking a little break from League of Legends, you know, now that I don't have to play on the master tier time clock, have a little bit more room to take a break there. Have been playing so very, very much of the set 3.5 TFT revival, which was like set 3 and 3.5 was the first TFT set I like took really seriously and learned and got like master tier for the first time. So it's just like such a fucking hit of nostalgia, and it's been a lot of fun. Played a bunch of those with Chris. And then lastly, I finally switched over to my new computer, got Windows installed, am getting all of my programs in order and installing a ton of Steam games. That was basically like last night. I just set like 20 big games to install overnight.
Nice.
But yeah, that's about it for my week. Nick, what you been up to?
Not a lot of League as well. Still busy season for me, so not too many games in general. I've played a decent amount of Pow World, which has been pretty fun. Pretty fun. I'm sure we'll hear about that from Chris as well. Surprisingly good for what it is, I would say. I think there's very low expectations, so it's working out well.
Well, hang on a second. What is it that it is good for what it is?
Well, I think like, I don't know, it kind of seems like a low budget, like kind of a cash grab, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
In sort of a sense.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's like, I don't know, pretty good is nice.
I respect the main dev so much. He's just so like blatant in everything he does.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a Pokemon clone. I'm sure you've seen the interviews of like, he had an interview where he's like, he went to some big Nintendo like conference game makers type thing, and it was talking about how like Nintendo devs, like they try so hard to like make a unique experience in every game they do, and they all have to be like this their own product. And he said at that point he realized that he does not care for that at all.
That's so funny.
And,
hey, yeah.
And since then, all of his games are like not clones, like they all are, like he has a Slay the Spire similar game, he mm-hmm. has a open world Minecraft Breath the Wild type game, he has now a Pokemon open world type game, their next game is a Hollow Knight type looking game. like it's one of those things where, like, I mean, it's cool that he's like super honest about it. You can have a different conversation about is that a cool thing to do in general in the games industry, but the reality is if these companies, if a company makes a cool thing and more people and a lot of people want more of that cool thing, and the company doesn't want to make it or is too slow to make it, there is opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the show a little bit, but I do think an official Nintendo, you know, whatever you want to call this game, like, would be one of the more successful games of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I you know, to be honest, I don't know if we want to have a full conversation about PAL World or not, because, oh my gosh. But I mean, like, the parts about that game that are good in the other games that it draws inspiration from, right? Like, there's so much Breath of the Wild inspiration from there, and the open world is similar to that. And like Scarlet and Violet looks half as good as Breath of the mm-hmm. Wild did. And Breath of the Wild was a release game for the Switch. Yeah. It's, yeah. You know, there's a lot of conversations to have about that I'll refrain from. But it's a cool game.
Yeah, I agree. It's been pretty fun so far. But I think that's about it for me. Chris, why don't you tell us what you've been up to since last you were here?
Yeah, so I've been playing a fair amount of League. I've slowed down on Ranked a little bit because Bronze is really difficult. Bronze is really, really difficult. I find it much more difficult than when I queue with y'all, and that MMR is like around gold players. I'm like, oh man, gold players make sense. I can play here. And then I go and I play Bronze. I'm like, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? Where's my support going?
Yeah, there's a little bit of like, it's easier to play against higher people because you're in that mindset, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking the same way that they are, so it's easy to combat that. But then you have like, fuck it, I'm playing Teemo jungle, I don't give a fuck. That's what I pick every single game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. yeah
it is really wild, like especially in like game like League, right, where it's like a lot of limited information, and so you're trying to parse all of this and like understand, right, like what is the logical choice for them to make here. And depending on the opponent, you're just going to get like the fucking wrong outcome. I know we played Clash, which we might talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Riot Games. I did not play Clash on an alt account. That wasn't my main. I would never do that. That the Riot Games people aren't listening, I at one point used my ultimate on Kindred to deny the Cho'Gath chomp, which was going to deal more damage than my smite, but then he just didn't chomp it and then waited until my ult was down. And then you, I was like, okay, well, I guess I should have just let it go to like 1300 and smited it.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Clash has been incredible. I actually prefer the Clash experience over solo and duo queue. Just because I suppose that like I trust that the people I queue with make sense. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know how much we want to talk about it, like Colton said, but Clash,
I mean,
was,
I think we can dive in a little bit. I think generally, like, anyone who approaches games in like a pretty competitive way and like wants to get good at them, right, like the more structured that environment is and the more on the same page you are, it's going to be more fun. And that's a lot of times, I think, like one of the detrimental factors of solo queue is that very often somebody will like give up, stop trying, or not be maybe taking it super seriously. And it really impedes the amount of fun you can have. And like, I don't know, we've played a ton of tournaments together, like Nick, Aiden, and I, mm-hmm. over the years with various other people, and it's just like a blast. Probably the most fun I've had playing League is playing on like actually competitive teams, trying your best, and And like, it's a different facet of the game you don't often get to experience.
Yeah, I haven't had as much experience playing in a structured competitive setting with friends. It's always just been fun games. And then like, if we do a ranked one, it's always going to be a solo or a duo queue. And so this has been great. So I'm looking forward to more Clash in the future.
Yeah, that team environment is awesome. And I think Clash, you know, when you don't have a lot of smurfing, does it a good job of matchmaking like pretty decently as well.
Yeah. But aside from League, Pal World, and I've been getting into Enshrouded as well, which is another one of those very similar to Pal World, but it's voxel based. Okay. It's a fantasy setting and much more about your individual character than creatures that you capture.
Nice. So it's cool. Awesome.
It is really cool. I'm excited to dig more into it, but that's it for me.
Sweet. I guess we'll get on with the show. Aiden, do we have any LeagueCast news?
No LeagueCast news. Trivia is still coming. I just haven't done any more work on it, but it will eventually come. I've been busy. that being said, I did want to shout out Community Games again. I've been doing them every other week. I'm trying to get them back up every week, but I've been busy. So if Christopher, you actually don't know. So I do Community Games, but to balance the games more, I do something called Aiden's Wheel of Fun, where there's a random rule for every community game. So I spin this wheel that has like 70 random game rules that I've come up with over the last couple months. And that's the rule for the game. And it can be anything from like, you have to play characters who would be good in a customer service environment. You can only play junglers. You can only top laner has to play AD carry. The AD carry has to play support. The support has to play mids. The mids have to play junglers.
Oh my gosh!
All right, so it's like fun stuff like that. So, sorry, what were you gonna say, Nick?
What was the one that you did the other day? I think it was the second one that you did.
Yeah, I was gonna shout out the two that I did this past week. So the first one I did was called Incompetence Level 7, which is you have to play characters that you have zero mastery on. I've done that one before.
yeah,
great, because like it's just 10 people who have never played their character and everyone's trying to read their abilities while they're playing. That was a lot of fun. And then we did a new one, which is called Nick's Wet Dream, which was it's a blind pick, but before blind pick, each team bans three items that no one in the game can use.
That is not a dream.
So the game, what we did was our team banned Kanic Rookern, which is the magic resist tank item. The enemy team banned Control Wards. we banned Force of Nature. They banned Shadow Flame because they realized, hey, they're just gonna play fucking mages. We banned Hollow Radiance as the AP Sunfire, the magic resist Sunfire item, and then they banned Malignance. It was so much fun, dude.
That's
what
awesome.
A fucking blast.
That's
we
awesome.
We played like heavy AP because we banned all the good tank MR items. It was
so funny.
I Control like Wards.
A really funny option when they realized you guys were gonna go all AP is if they just banned the needlessly large rod component.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that would have been sick. You want death cap, save up 3600 gold.
Honestly, even better than that, like if so in that scenario, if I had banned like just the 400 gold book, right? Would you be able to build the components since that is made of it?
So the way we did it was you had to ban final items, but like once again, it's like
who cares?
Like if they pitched me something fun, like I was like, we were deciding control words were allowed, and it's like, fuck it, it'll make it more fun. So who cares?
Yeah. Right. That sounds like, awful. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the name of the game. Like we'll do shit like you have to play futuristic characters versus like animal characters. And like we'll let skins count. Cause like it's the whole point of this is like to create a fun environment where people aren't just playing their best things and being as sweaty as possible. It's like,
and
it's
help level
great.
Things out. Yeah, because like it's not fun being on the end of like I'm a bronze player playing against a diamond player, and it's also not fun like being the only diamond player on a team and just like permanently having four people in your lane because they know that.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the best, most rewarding things was this past week we did the Incompetence Level 7 one, and someone on our team tried Kennen for the first time. He played Kennen support. And then, like, later that evening, he posted a game of him playing, like, Kennen in, like, just a normal game with some friends. He's like, oh, I really enjoy this
character.
Popped
off, right?
Yeah, and I was like, that's so fucking cool that, like, people will experiment and try and have fun. But I'm excited, so hopefully I'll do more of those in the
coming
weeks.
Sweet. Let's jump into the news, then.
Great. So there's not a ton of news this week. One big thing that I want to touch on, it's more competitive league news than anything, but with the Riot layoffs, Riot has also announced that they are no longer putting resources towards their Twitch rival called Ren, which is the Riot Esports Network. This was never officially announced. It was kind of hinted at by John Needham a couple, like sometime last year, where he said that they're building towards like the future of esports, and they're building in more monetization options for teams. What this was going to be was going to be a mobile app and web browser player where you can watch all your favorite League of Legends, Valorant, whatever content, all your favorite Riot Games content, if you will. And it eventually was going to have options for obviously monetization for teams. So maybe you're watching a team play and they're playing Ahri and they're using the SKT Ahri skin. And then, hey, now you get an advertisement to buy this Ahri skin on sale. Like it was going to have monetization options like that for teams. It was hopefully going to increase league viewership because maybe they could have this in client. Well, they've completely shut this down. It's a little disappointing. I think the more disappointing part is the fact that being a League of Legends esports team, or I guess Valorant esports team, anyone in the Riot ecosphere, there's no real way for your team to make money, like at all.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how discussions like that are going right now, because this seems like teams should be pissed, because this was going to be a new monetization option for them, and now it's gone. I don't know, it's not looking good, man. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that sucks. That's really tough. I do wonder if it had any chance of succeeding just because of the stranglehold that I feel like Twitch has on like online gaming streaming, at least in English speaking countries.
I mean, it could have compiled stuff, right? It doesn't have to like take away from it, right? But it like funnels everyone back into like their own ecosystem, or like maybe you have Riot broadcast exclusive to it, but you still can have like League of Legends streamers who are streaming through Twitch and YouTube and stuff like featured on it. I have no idea how it would work, fair. But like once again, having all of this traffic in one area sounded like probably a good future for League, but
yeah, it could have been really cool. I think, you know, not only for the teams themselves, I think for Riot and like their esports division, it probably would have been more profitable to get streams on your own network than to like be getting a revenue share streaming it on like YouTube or Twitch. It seems, yeah, kind of weird. I guess just it wasn't looking good for them to keep it going. The only thing this is missing from being like a Riot Games classic is that like 10 months ago, some random independent person didn't already create this and then they cease and desisted.
Yeah.
I mean,
then it would have been a Riot special.
It's funny that you say that, Colton, because it's built off of a company that they acquired in 2021 called Kanga, which is the other Riot Games classic. Someone is doing something really, really cool. Riot then acquires them and then does nothing with it. I remember like from like 2011, you could probably find videos on YouTube still, League of Fighters, which was a League of Legends fighting game that these people made.
I remember that.
It's like was 2D sprites, really, really cool. Riot acquired them in like 2012, and then nothing came of it. And I know Project L is coming out next year, but that's completely unrelated. It has no relation at all to that thing they acquired 12 years ago. Like, I don't know.
I think we're just not used to such brand related aggression here. But if you look at like other IPs in other countries, and I'm going to speak from experience here, it's like Pokemon's like grip on their IP is legendary in the same way. Like they don't want people emulating stuff. They will cease and desist you if you're streaming something on one of their official systems, even if you own the game, all sorts of different stuff like that. So like, I guess from my perspective, this isn't too weird. It's just not smart for them to not do anything with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if we knew it was for brand control, right? And quality control, that'd be one thing, but it doesn't seem like it. Like it seems like they're willing to do all sorts of different things. Valorant is a testament to that. Like they made a shooter, like these guys who took Dota and made it into they made Dota again. Like they also I don't know. It's kind of disappointing because Riot makes good quality polished products when they do.
God. Thinking about what they've done to like so many creators who are like doing a service or like creating a thing that the community wants, but that Riot won't make themselves, how they've like stopped it. It's so wild thinking about that through the lens of that's literally what League of Legends is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like community members taking a thing that exists, making it better, and then people really liking it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally like how the company was built. It's wild that they do that, but we know that as much as Riot is, you know, a large corporation, for whatever reason, they don't seem to want infinite money. You know, there's a lot of merchandising yeah. options and ways they could make infinite money that they just don't do anything with.
I mean, yeah, the classic one we talk about all the time is the fact that they just started adding posters to their store, which is just a picture of the splash arts they made, but they don't even offer all of them. They just offer random ones.
Yep. It took them like 8 years to do that.
And they can print on demand and they could sell them for like an obscene markup, right? Like, they could sell those posters for $20 that cost 19 cents to print, only print it once it's ordered, right? Like, in money.
And they already have the asset. Like, they already have the picture.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and
weird.
You know what? You want to make even more money? Include like a little code on it, right? Like, every poster on the back of it comes with a code for like 100 RP. People are going to buy them. It's all right.
No, I don't think we want to do that, actually.
Yeah. Cool. We'd rather ask why esports is having sponsors pull out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, maybe we should talk about LCS before competitive league before we go on to Guffaws, because I feel like that's a good segue.
Yeah, I can jump into it. LCS, LEC, LCK, LPL are all back. I've been watching a good amount of the games. They're pretty fun. LCS is fun because it's live patch all the time. Anything there before I jump into the TSM thing? That's like the only like actual bit.
I have been watching Dom's videos. And they have been so fucking funny recently. There's a team, what is it, Ultra Prime in LPL that's won zero games so far, likely will win zero games in its entirety, the entirety of the season. But because of the prevalence of AD carries and how strong they are, right? They decided to...
They drafted the Dream Team?
They did. They did draft the Dream Team. Picked Rammus, Yumi bot lane. And hey, it turns out that's not good. That's not a good lane.
I thought they were gonna go the other angle Dream Team, not we're gonna carry AD carries. I thought it was gonna be the solo key special where you get like Vayne top, Trist mid, Kindred jungle, and Senna Caitlyn bottom.
No, because that would make sense, right? If AD carries are strong to go ahead and use AD carries. No, they went the other way.
But imagine if they were able to pick two Rammus's bot lane.
So let me get it straight. They identified a strength and then didn't use it?
Yeah. So no. They identified a strength and then said, oh, okay, great. Like, we'll come up with a counter for it. There's going to be double AD carry in the bot lane. Perfect. Yep, Rammus good against AD carries.
I mean, for sure. I get that. I get the unga bunga logic there, right? Of one leads to two. But at the same time, like, if AD carries are that good, you don't think people in bronze, me speaking from experience, they wouldn't have discovered that this worked or something? Like, I don't know. This is like what I've been thinking about a lot lately is that high level people, when they think too much, end up thinking like bronze players.
That's so funny, actually.
We literally saw that in LCS this past week where like Shopify Rebellion, old TSM, picked Sion mid first because you can build like the mage tank items and they're really, really good versus mages. So they first picked Sion and then Cloud9 picked Vayne into it, which makes sense, right? That's not a mage. He can't build the mage. But then he just built Frozenheart, which is the same thing. It's like you got step one there. Like, I see the progression of your thoughts, but step two just didn't make it.
Yeah, so they picked it into Varus Ash bot lane, went down 30 CS, lost the full turret, including all the play, to 8.5 minutes, and the game was just over.
Yeah.
So
yikes.
It's been fun. We've been having a good time in competitive league. But yeah, let's talk about something that's not as fun.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to briefly touch on it, mostly because I have a side for it. But the social media manager from TSM has been let go. And then he, on his way out, he mentioned, hey, TSM is down to 9 staff members, which is interesting. So they still have a bunch of teams signed, right? So and I think this is going somewhere. I don't want to like dive super deep into it because we kind of touched on it a couple weeks ago. So TSM is not in LCS anymore, obviously. Mm-hmm. They are in, I think they still have a Valorant roster for like tier two. They, as of last week, though, signed a Rocket League roster. And there's lots of discussion of like, hey, if TSM has 9 staff, like, are they fully exiting esports? But now they're signing teams. That doesn't make sense. And I don't want to fully go into it, but we know that there's going to be the esports World Cup in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is sports washing esports now. And the new thing that's coming out of that is not only are they putting a shitload of money up and kind of forcing, not forcing, obviously you have the choice of participating or not, forcing in the sense that it's a $50 million prize pool, forcing teams to participate because it's a shitload of money. But now they are apparently paying teams like big orgs that they want to participate to sign teams to participate.
Oh,
so that's what we're probably going to see, start seeing. And I think I just wanted to like bring it up because I think it's relevant in the fact that why the fuck is this TSM, who is a shambling corpse of what they used to be, signing a Rocket League roster when they have 9 staff at their company? It's probably because this Saudi Arabia World Cup is going to have a Rocket League tournament in it, and they probably see TSM as a large brand and they're paying TSM to make a roster to participate. I just think it's like worth saying, because same thing with EG is also another org that's a shambling corpse of what they used to be. Yeah. But hey, guess what, they just re-signed an entire Valorant roster. Mm-hmm. Like, they won Valorant Worlds, let go of their entire roster because they exited from League of Legends, let go of their entire Valorant roster after winning Worlds, and then they re-signed a Valorant roster. It's probably because they're being paid to like do it. Yeah. And then they're probably going to be at, I mean, once again, this is all speculation, but esports washing is real, and I think we're gonna see lots and lots of stuff come up about that in the coming weeks. So
maybe Rocket League is just hot right now, Aiden.
It's just, yeah, it's really just weird, like, that your org has 9 employees but you're like still signing rosters. Like, something there doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. But
so do you think they're gonna remain in org like afterwards, or do you think it's like just tournament?
When they left LCS, Reggie said that they're gonna join another major region.
Yes, yeah, for and, sure gonna happen.
I mean, if they do at this point, it's going to be purely another org buying the rights to their brand, right? Because TSM is still a bigger brand than some other orgs, right? So maybe a team in the LPL will buy TSM as a brand name, right? And then instead of being, what was the team that you said that Dom was watching,
Ultra Prime,
instead of being Ultra Prime, it's TSM Ultra Prime, right?
That's fair, yeah.
I think that's the only way that we actually see, like, meaning they don't manage it, they don't like pay attention to the roster, they don't GM it. Ultra Prime owns it, but they have TSM's name. That's what I would see if they actually are going to be a League of Legends. Or Reggie was just fucking lying. That's also probably that, possibility. That one,
huh? Possible.
Yeah.
Maybe that one. Hell yeah. All right, do we want to do some more fun stuff then?
Let's do some fun stuff, then we'll go into bi-weekly after.
Let's do boring stuff.
Did you have anything you wanted to do, Aiden, before we do mine?
I think we do yours, then we'll go into bi-weekly after.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, we're going to do a little sporkle, okay?
Ooh.
we are going to name League of Legends champions by their Q ability. So I'm going to tell you what the Q ability is, right? And you're going to tell me what champion has that. I think the way that it's going to work is it's going to be Chris versus Aiden and Colton, but Chris, you'll have first dibs on every answer.
Oh, okay. All right. Sure.
And if it doesn't work that well, then we'll just,
we'll just cut it from the show.
Individual. We'll have individual scores.
Wait, so is it like first to a point value or
no?
Just every character.
Yeah.
Every character, okay. All 167.
Yeah.
It'll be quick.
GG.
It'll be quick, unless it sucks, in which case I'll just cut it off. Okay, Chris, I'll give you a little curveball, not curveball, easy one. Right down the middle, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Prowling projectile.
Prowling, and these are all Q abilities, said?
Yes.
Prowling projectile.
Uh-huh.
This isn't Nidalee's spear, is it?
No, is that your guess?
Yeah, that's my guess. I can't think of anything else.
No, it's not.
Wait, no, it's Pike!
Wait.
Okay, now that's all I got. That's all I got.
Aiden, I think you and I are on the same page. This is Yumikyu, right?
Yeah, this is Yumikyu. Yeah. 1 point for Team LeagueCast.
I would have never, ever guessed that.
It's okay. That was an easy one. So this one will be easier. I mean, a hard one. Dark Binding.
Oh, very clearly Kale. I mean, Morgana.
Yeah, you got it. Okay.
Wow, 1-1.
Siphoning Strike.
That's Nasus.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, we're getting fucked, Colton.
Yeah, it's
the first one was rough.
I thought that one was going to be easy. Sorry. Disintegrate. This one's a little tough.
Oh, is it Brand?
It is not Brand.
Yep.
I think. Now, do Aiden and I share one guess?
We can work together. So what were you thinking? I was thinking Vel'Koz.
I was thinking Vel'Koz also.
That's Vel'Koz your answer?
Yeah. Yes.
It is Annie.
Ooh.
Oh, what? We all suck.
Disintegrate.
True, it is Disintegrate.
Right, because if she kills with it, then she gets mana back, right? That's the idea there?
I mean, it was called Disintegrate before they added that mechanic.
Oh, well, I'm trying to give them more credit.
They were thinking in the future they would eventually do
that. Yeah. They couldn't just say Fireball, I guess.
I think it's just because, like, hot fire disintegrates stuff sometimes.
You know what? You're right. Yeah.
Transfusion.
That's Vladimir.
Okay. Root Caller.
I don't know, but I'll guess because why not? Is not Zyra. Okay.
There's only three tree characters. Yeah, is it Ivern, right, or is it Maokai?
I'm pretty sure Maokai Q is like Bramble Smash.
Yeah. So it's probably Ivern, right?
I'm pretty sure it's Ivern.
We'll go Ivern.
It is Ivern.
Logic wins the day.
Is three.
And then Nick question, Bramble Smash.
So the only problem with this setup is that in a situation like that, because I'm going to guess, there's no way I'm not going to guess, right?
Yeah.
It does take one out of the pool, so it gives them that benefit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you just knew them, you would have 20 points right now and we'd have zero.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? It's been working out.
Okay, we're not going to do all of them because this would take forever, but
we can go with first five or something. I think it's fair.
Sure. We'll do first to 10 because Chris is already at three.
Oh, yeah.
Bouncing Grenade.
That is Ziggs.
It is not Ziggs.
Oh, no, I know what it is now. Yeah, it is, yeah. Shoot.
Ziggs is a bomb.
Yeah, that's right, that's bomb. Fair enough.
That's totally different.
Yeah, fair enough, guys.
Exploding circular thing. I don't think either of you are going to... Mistral Bolt.
Karma?
Incorrect.
Mistral
Bolt. Is that going to be a new character, right?
How do you spell Mistral?
Mistral.
Oh.
I don't know off that one. I don't know that
one. Oh, God.
Colton, say a character.
Yeah, Viego.
Oh, that was close. Gwen?
Vex. I knew it was like a shadowy something character, and I was like, I was stuck on Viego and Gwen.
All right, it's 3-3. Chris, Avengerang.
Avengerang, that is Akshan.
Ultra Mega Fire Kick.
Ultra Mega Fire Kick. Uh-huh. Whose Q is Ultra Mega Fire Kick?
He didn't make this up. That's the craziest.
No,
this
is real.
I believe
the
it.
The funny thing.
I do. What? What's the funny thing? Please.
Oh, I got to wait because I might. It might.
Oh, no.
How
I was hoping for some work.
You just make something up like that.
No. I would believe it. I'd believe it. I honestly have no clue. I have a few guesses, but I know they're wrong because I know that those cues aren't called that. Like Lee Sin comes to mind, but it's not him. Yeah, I think I'm just going to kind of let that one go. I don't know.
OK.
It's Melio.
Mm-hmm. It is Melio.
I was going to say, the funny thing is that they're like also in the game. Is Super Mega Death Rocket, mm-hmm. but it's like mm-hmm. so much less cringe when you hear that from Jinx versus Melio calling it Super Mega.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, next one is called Mortal Steel.
Is that S T E E-L or S-T-E-A-L?
Did I get the origin?
Yeah.
Origin, RuneScape. I'm about to make a steel plate body.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that didn't help me at all, man. Is that, oh shoot, what's his name? The guy who's not Yasuo. Yone, is it his cue? Yes,
it is Yone. It is
Woo!
It is.
Not Yasuo.
Not Yasuo.
For the record, I would have given you not Yasuo.
Thank you. Thank you.
let's see. I'm kind of skipping through them.
Hey, can we get a score check? Where are we at right now?
Oh, yeah, Chris 5, everyone else 3.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Let's do Chainlash.
Silas.
Oh my god. Okay. Silas.
I got that.
Noise.
Damn.
Taste Their Fear.
Is it a Fiddlesticks?
Incorrect.
Shoot.
Well, you got it right.
I don't.
Kha'Zix.
It is Kha'Zix.
Oh, he says that, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. I find it funny that the ones I know the least are characters I play. Right? Because I haven't read their ability name in like 8 years.
You've rewired your brain to just like this ability at this cue does the thing. Yeah. A name doesn't exist, right? Yeah. In your brain. Yeah.
I had to replace that with like how much damage it does in the cooldown.
There you go.
I just had one and I lost it.
Are you doing this by memory? What are you doing?
No, I'm looking at a giant list. Okay. And we're skipping around, so I don't want to.
Okay.
Okay. Super Mega Fire Kick. Switcheroo. That was it.
Switcheroo. Is this Nico?
No.
Jinx.
Yeah.
It is Jinx.
Oh, because she switches between her. Oh, dang. Yeah.
Between her guns? What are their names?
I know one is Fishbones. I don't know what the other one is. The Gatling gun?
Pow Pow.
Pow Pow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember from the hit song Get Jinxed when she says, let's see what Pow Pow thinks?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Jinx from Arcane. You know that character?
Oh, yeah. I've seen Arcane. Wait, that's League of Legends?
Yeah.
What?
All right. We're going to do Head Rush.
Head Rush. You know, I don't know. It's not Alistar because that's Headbutt.
That's also a W.
It's also a W, yeah. I'll pass. I have no idea. Oh, wait, no. I think I might. Is this Briar?
Oh, it is Briar.
I was going to say Briar.
I don't think I would have gotten that one.
I'll concede that.
Sorry. Thank you.
All right. We'll do Shattering Strike.
Jarvan?
No.
This is Leecast. Rel.
This is Rel.
Oh.
Jarvan's, you silly Billy, it's Dragon Strike.
Oh, you're right. How could I have?
You're so dumb.
I'm a moron. God.
All right. 7-6, Chris. Subject Disaster.
Oh.
I have no clue. Zero clue.
Do you want to name any champion in the game?
Yeah, sure. Victor.
That's a bad guess.
Yeah.
It's gotta be Huey, right?
Yeah.
7-7.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Lead cast pulling away with it.
And he's gonna come out with some fucking easy ones. You can say Rocket Grab.
I'm trying to find ones that are not like that easy. Because if I said like Tentacle Smash, like that's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, Teemo, yeah.
Rampage. How about that?
Rampage.
Rampage.
That's a great one that I don't know the answer to. Is it Gnar's Q after he's transformed?
Ooh, incorrect.
I was also thinking that, Chris.
Okay, good. Thank you for the validation.
Man, I'm not sure. Aiden, do you know this one?
No, I thought it was Gnar.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's definitely not Clay.
Okay, only 165 blocks.
give me keep a moment. Going. Let me go through every every character real quick. For
it's not Ash. It's not Akshon. It's not Aatrox, Annie.
Ari, Anivia. Yeah.
I think we can pass on this one, Colton.
Yeah, pass.
Ooh. It is Hecarim.
Oh.
Whatever.
Sure. Okay. No, his is spin.
Yeah. Baton twirl.
All right. Exactly. Knuckles down.
Knuckle down.
I'm sorry. Singular.
Knuckle down.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Gnar?
That is not Gnar.
Okay. I don't know.
This is Set.
Oh, he's the punchy guy. That's right.
Actually, this is Knuckles from the Sonic universe. Yeah.
That's right. Knuckles the Echidna. Let's go.
Noxious Blast.
That one is Cassiopeia.
That one is Cassiopeia. Well done.
8-8.
8-8. Close game. Obliterate.
This is Mordekaiser.
It is Mordekaiser. Wow.
Yeah.
Wildling Claw.
Wildling Claw?
Wait, I'm sorry. Wilding Claw.
Oh.
Wilding Claw.
I feel like it should be Wildling, by the way. But that's okay.
Is this Nico?
It is not Nico.
Okay.
Colton, is it new Udyr? I don't know.
Oh fuck! It could
is
be.
It? Is he? Because that's the yeah. I, it's
my
new Udyr,
only
right?
other thought is oh. that it's cat form Nidalee, but I don't think that it's that.
Isn't that? Takedown?
I think it's Udyr.
Yeah.
It is Udyr.
Yeah, Udyr.
Which I feel like it should be Wildling Claw, not Wilden.
Yeah, I think that's what
no. It's bullshit. It's tiger.
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 Yeah.
Bear. Turtle. Bird.
Okay, this is it. Whoever gets this one right will win. Hate Spike.
Oh, that's Evelyn.
Oh, it is Evelyn.
Woo!
Yo, winner.
Wow, that was a lot closer than it had any business being.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys kind of like phoning it in towards the end, Chris, to...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I threw. Fun. Yeah, 100%.
Content. Yeah, it's nice. Hey, that
good
was
game,
it.
Nick.
Yeah.
That was fun.
On next week's shows, we do W abilities.
How funny would that be, though?
That actually would be like so much harder than Q, I think.
We've got four weeks of content.
My first idea was like, oh, I'm going to do E, because I feel like no one knows E abilities.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought maybe that's too hard. So I did Q instead. And maybe that was too easy.
Cool. Want to do Vi-Weekly really quick? And we'll
let's do it.
Okay, cool. We have two Vi-Weekly things. One suggested from our Patreon. One is just something I want to quickly talk about. I don't want to go too in-depth on the first one. First one is about Vanguard. So we talked about it in last week's show that this patch, they're configuring your machine to be ready for Vanguard. Vanguard is the kernel-level anti-cheat that's used in Valorant. After patch 14.3, you will be required to have Vanguard to play League of Legends. Most people kind of understand what that is. I'm not going to fully go into what Vanguard is. That being said, I do think that it is worthwhile mentioning that you should be aware of what Vanguard is, and you should be aware of, in general, what companies are collecting about you data-wise. I would recommend that people go and watch a video by Richard Lewis. Richard Lewis is probably one of the better esports journalists out there. It's not a full journalist piece. It's just a, like kind of a rant video from his YouTube channel. Sorry, I had it pulled up. I actually closed it when we were getting ready to record. But let me pull it up just so I have the title of it. It is called Riot's Vanguard Harvests More Data Than You Think. It's a 43-minute video, a little bit of rambling in it, but the general point is that he goes through what they collect in general, what Vanguard collects, and he also goes through some privacy laws of the US and Tencent and what that means. We don't need to go into it any further because I think it very, very quickly delves into a political discussion of what companies should be allowed to collect and what countries should be allowed to collect. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think it's good for consumers in general to understand what information they are giving up and mm-hmm. what programs like this are collecting. Everyone has their own lines. For example, when Valorant implemented voice chat and a couple months later implemented the ability to issue reports and bans based on previously collected voice data, that's when I decided personally for myself that I didn't want to use voice chat in Riot games because I don't think it's good for a company to collect and store voice data from their game.
That's a lot of data.
Purely just to use for issuing bans. That's where I drew my own personal line. So if like voice chat came to League of Legends, I probably wouldn't opt in because I'm assuming it'd be the same thing. That being said, please educate yourself. Please decide what's right for yourself. I just think it's worthwhile for us mentioning that this will be a thing coming next patch. It doesn't mean that Riot hasn't already been collecting data. This is completely different. Kernel level anti-cheat will just collect a little bit more data about your machine and the softwares you use. But either way, just educate yourself. If you want, go watch the Richard Lewis video. Once again, it's called Riot's Vanguard collects more data than, or harvests more data than you think. Please do your own research.
I think we are all, as citizens of a modern society, you know, we sign a lot of terms and conditions that we never read.
Yeah.
And accept a lot of monitoring and data collection and give a lot of access to the products and services we use. It is good to be informed about that. And when journalists take the time to dig through those things and sum them up, it's helpful, good to know. And again, once you are a little bit more informed, you can make your choice as to whether you want to give that access and you know, give that information to these companies that are collecting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. And then our next Patreon topic. So every week or every other week on the podcast, we select a topic suggested from our $1 patrons in our patron channel on our Discord. If you want to submit a topic, you go to discord.gg/leaguecast, go to our patron channel, and we have a thread there where you can suggest topics. This is kind of like an area where we can have longer form discussions about stuff rather than just like a quick email response. This week's question was suggested by Oklahoman, and it was about how to identify when a team fight's good. And you've mentioned stuff like, what should I know about like champion knowledge, summoner tracking, vision? How do all these things work together to determine if a team fight is good? He kind of went into like a post describing like, I watch like higher ELO players play the game and they just like call fights that like I think would be a lost fight, but like they take it and it's a good fight. And I don't understand how they can determine stuff like that. And this is, by the way, is coming from a D3 player. He's like pretty good at the game, but he still like fails to fully understand when a fight is good just by looking at it. And I think it's a hard thing to learn.
That is really hard.
It's a very like nuanced topic because a lot of what could happen doesn't always happen, right? Like I think that's like a good disclaimer to start, is that a fight may look really good and be really good and then end up going really bad just because of like execution issues, right? Where like I think a great example is like maybe a team fight that has an angle to start off with like a, let's say like Alistar WQ, but instead of WQing like the AD carry, they W the AD carry back into safety and then Q nothing. And then now your support is dead, right? Like that quick caveat that like execution also matters.
Yeah.
So what are, you know, some things you guys look for to determine, is this a good team fight?
Yeah, I think as someone who like tends to play more engaged champs than the average person, I think like knowing when you have the ability to like to actually start something is important. And one of the best indicators of if a team fight is going to be good, I think going off of what you said, Colton, knowing that you have the ability to, you know, QW the AD carry is a really important aspect to that. But knowing that they like don't have flash or they don't have a way to counteract that. If you're playing like Alistar into Ezreal or Tristana, they're going to be a lot more difficult to lock up with your ability versus, you know, something like Jinx, right? Where that's like a super reliable engage. Mm-hmm. I think being on the lookout for key abilities being used, if you see like an Ezreal E forward or E into a, you know, a bad spot, that should kind of flip the switch for everyone on the team, you know, like, oh, we should go right now.
Yeah. And that's also a really good point that like that, you know, that balance of, is this a good fight to take, can turn instantly when the character just uses one ability.
Yeah.
Chris, what are you looking for when you're trying to evaluate a team fight?
Okay, so I'm definitely coming at this from a different perspective than y'all, because the highest I've ever placed is like gold 3, and that was back in like season 3. But what I was trying to think of here is what I could offer of value. And I think what I could offer of value is how I try to minimize mistakes while not having a knowledge base as vast as somebody who's much more experienced than me. And what I've found playing AD carry and support in normals and in ranked is, first of all, staying alive is really important because there's no team fight if you're dead. So try your best to not get caught. And that comes with a bunch of things we've already talked about, vision and champion knowledge. If they still have their ult and you're way too forward in your lane and you get caught, that's your fault. And if there's a gank, then that's a 3v2 instead of the 3v3 that it could have been otherwise, right? But as a support player, which I play most of in games that I'm taking more seriously, it's drowning other people in opportunity, because I think it also matters the sort of setting that you're playing. And if you're in a team of five where you're communicating with people, identifying team fights is a lot easier because you have people right away being like, hey, let's go. And somebody say, no, wait, or my R is down, like things that you might not know, or your opinion might average out correctly. But if you're in a solo queue scenario and you don't know the skill levels or knowledge base of the players you're playing with, providing opportunity to other people to make decisions and being available to back them up is how you can sort of normalize the trajectory of good team fights positively for you and your teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. One thing that I think that I just wanted to add, I think everything you guys have mentioned has been great, is fighting is less so identifying good team fights, but identifying when stages of the game when team fights are going to be bad. The most obvious example is like, say, like the enemy team has a Kassadin or a Kayle, right? Mm-hmm. Do we fight when they're level 15 or do we fight when they're level 16? Obviously, it's way more strategic or advantageous to fight when they're 15, right? So maybe it's not a good team fight then, but it's going to be a better team fight than you're going to get in the later stage of the game, right? And I think this goes down to the most minute level of understanding characters' build paths. Like, for example, oh, their enemy mid laner is sitting on two needlessly large rods, meaning within 1,000 gold, they're going to get death cap, right? Which increases their damage by however much, right? So understanding they need 1,000 gold and paying attention to mini waves they're getting, understanding the amount of time that you have to find a good team fight, like, can give you advantageous positions, right? It's less so looking for a good team fight, but more understanding at this point there will only be bad team fights or way less opportunities for good team fights. That's something I think is a very hard skill to learn, even at like the early stages of the game. Like, it's less about team fights, but like keeping someone in lane because you know that they have gold to go back and get their item is something that you can abuse so easily, like up to like diamond, like maybe even higher. You're against a mid laner who wants to go lost chapter back because then they have infinite mana for lane. You know, at 1300 gold, they're going to back and get their lost chapter. So as soon as they have 1300 gold, you can pay attention to when you have 1300 gold, assuming you're CSing equally. And then you keep them in lane for as long as you can, just draining out their mana and then eventually making them take a really bad back. It's like stuff like that's very, very important to the game. And I don't think it's discussed almost at all. Or maybe not even thought about by most players. It's like hard.
Yeah. So I want to like approach this like top down, because there are some very easy indicators to like, is this a good team fight, right? So like, first question, numbers, right?
Yeah.
do we have more people than them? It's probably dude a good potential fight.
Dude potential, or, yeah.
Do you remember that sorry video, Colton?
Yeah. No.
It's an unlisted video from the Riot Games YouTube channel, because obviously the joke is it's DP, which is another acronym. But they have a video from like 2011 where it's like, how do you identify, like, if you're gonna get ganked? Well, what's the DP? And the DP is number of dudes on the map minus, or five minus the number of dudes on the map, right? It's DP3. I can find it. I bet it's just unlisted. It's a funny video.
Yeah. Who is voicing this? Is this Freak?
I think it might have been. It's either Freak or it's someone from like the dev team from back then. It's wild. So funny, man.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, sorry. Like, that's a quick indicator. You know, gold and item breakpoints, like Aiden was talking about, that's another quick one, right? Where, you know, I think Aiden, you went on like the opposite side of it, where it's like, take a team fight before they finish like a crucial item or before they hit a certain breakpoint. Right, like you can also do that on your team to say like, oh, our AD carry just finished their second full item while the opponent AD carry is on 1.5 items, right? Like, that's a good spike to look for. You know, there's a whole other conversation to be had about whether a team fight is necessary, right? Because even if it might be a good fight, it even, right, like maybe it's a 65-35 fight, you're probably going to win it, but taking it is just entirely unnecessary, and maybe there's a better option. That sometimes is the case. Outside of that, you know, where people are positioned, again, you know, tracking cooldowns of crucial abilities, summoner spells, you know, I think I look at this at a pretty similar angle to Nick, because I play typically engage junglers or engage supports. Right. So the most important thing that I am looking for is how can I get an angle into this fight to CC the most people possible or the most crucial like person on the enemy team. Right. I'm looking for a flash WR angle as well. I'm looking to position for a big ultimate on Renata. I'm looking for how can I EQ into the fight as Jarvan. And, you know, that's probably a lot of times not as nuanced as it needs to be, because I'm not as much considering like, will my allies be able to follow up on this? That's something I often end up doing is like, sick, I got like a 4-man WR as well, but also my team really wasn't able to do very much with it. So, I mean, tons and tons of factors to think about, look out for, a very, you know, long-term learning kind of thing, but hopefully that conversation helped.
Cool.
Awesome.
Was there anything else that we needed to discuss?
No, it's great. That? If you guys want to submit patron questions, as long as you're a $1 patron, you can go to our patron lounge and post in the thread.
Oh yeah. Hopefully that helps.
One other thing. Don't take a team fight if there's a Trundle already hitting your inhibitor, because then you just lose the game. That's a bad team fight.
That's, you know what, fair enough. Cool. Great. Let's move into roundtable.
Awesome. Also, they fully removed the dude potential thing. It's not even unlisted anymore, it's private, which probably is for good reason.
That's hilarious.
But it's still like, you can still see like it was published in 2011, I see from like Wayback Machine, but
that's awesome.
Cool. Last week's roundtable question was, we're all a little toxic. Tell us a particularly funny time that you were reported or received a warning for something you said in League. Chris, do you have a time that you were reported? You don't seem like a toxic person at all, Chris, to be honest.
No, I just scream at you guys in voice chat. I don't waste my time typing it in to get reported. You know, y'all can report me in Discord if you want. But
yeah. Well, I got a couple of responses. I mean,
they probably store logs of all of our conversations. Yeah.
Oh gosh, somebody in your channel has clipping enabled. Oh no.
they probably do it even if we have it disabled.
Yeah.
We got a couple of responses from our Discord. Lots there. One from Sude says, I got a 3-day chat ban after typing nothing but Kled voice lines into chat. I was in fact also playing Kled back.
I think there's something to be said about like, if you spam the chat, you also like,
yeah,
will be chat banned at a higher rate.
Definitely.
Which sucks, but.
Yeah, does it? For sure.
No, probably not.
No, it doesn't suck. I don't think so either.
One from Chonky Monkey says, the only time I ever got a warning was when I was in a game with zero impact bottom lane. I said something like of the effect of, if only our bottom lane was not playing around with their dicks, my friends and I got a good chuckle when I told them about the ward.
That's pretty funny.
We got one from Pards Bay. He says, I was on a smurf and called my Ziggs an idiot because he said Ezreal has better wave clear than Ziggs. I love that. That's so funny. And then my favorite of all is from Ivy, and they posted a screenshot of a chat log that they got a warning for. It says, damn Draven, those are some nice thighs, great work Lucian, support difference easy, yawn. And they got a chat warning for it. Obviously I'm assuming Shark responded, he said, you sexually harassed Draven.
That's really funny.
It's funny. I understand why the filter's in there, but it's a good one.
You don't say easy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
This week's roundtable question is from Casey Stranger. They said, think of your earliest memory from a game of League. What happened to make that game memorable?
I think for me, it was just like figuring out that there were like so many champions in the game, mm-hmm. and the overwhelming like, oh, like this is going to be my game for a really fucking long time. Like just having that like vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I have mine. So I started playing in 2010. And I remember as early as 2011, Trevor, my cousin, came over for like a week in like the summer when, because in 2010 I was 14. So if I was 15. And he came over for like a week summer vacation or whatever. And we made Smurf accounts. We're Smurfing in 2011 League of Legends.
Oh, yeah.
Our Smurf accounts were Potato Smasher and Tomato Masher. and we only played 3v3 and we just shit on people for like a week straight of like sub-level 30 3v3 games.
That's fun.
So good.
Yeah. It's great.
I mean, like, probably one of my earliest memories of League of Legends. Like, the earliest was definitely like watching my older brother play Twisted Fate, as like that was one of the characters he leveled with. Mm-hmm. And he picked up the game probably like maybe 4 months before I did. But like of my own gameplay, it was probably like at some point realizing that you like used to be able to stack flat spell pen a lot more easily. And having the idea like I can 100-0 somebody with Nunu ult and then like actually being able to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Of like, man, I'm cooking now. I figured this game out.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Chris?
I've got a bunch. But I like my earliest memories are not my most memorable, you know? Like my earliest memory is buying it off of a shelf in Best Buy when it was still in beta. But
like, this game's gonna be sick.
Yeah,
can you explain honestly why you grabbed that? Like, what compelled you to buy this game off of a shelf in Best Buy?
Yeah. No problem. That's a great question. So I was really big into Dota, the Warcraft 3 custom game mode, obviously. And then there was rumblings on the internet that there was going to be a Dota 2 and a League of Legends when those teams started getting themselves together. And I was following it because I was a real, real big Dota nerd. And so I saw League of Legends on a shelf. I didn't realize what the model was at the time. I'm just like, I'm going to get this because I've been hearing about this. And of course, I'm going to love it. Come to find out the game is free. But I got a bunch of skins and stuff. And at a LAN party with a bunch of our friends, I had them all pass around the disc to install it. And somebody like third in line was like, I can just download this online. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's hilarious. That's so
do you
funny
remember the old installer where it's like casted and kind of like just raising his arm?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that qualifies. Yeah. That's the earliest memory. Yeah.
That's sick.
If you guys want to let us know what one of your earliest memories in League of Legends is and what makes it memorable, you can hit us up on our Discord. It's in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leaguecast, or you can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com.
Just a quick aside, one of my earliest memories with Chris, and I think Aiden, you may have been there, is
Soraka Jungle.
Played Soraka Jungle.
We have a video on our YouTube
channel. Yeah,
there's
a video on that. Yeah. It was a great time.
How'd that go?
I popped the fuck off.
It was bananas, bro. Oh my god.
It was back like a long time ago when you could just like just mash Q.
Oh yeah, when her
Soraka
start call just hit everything on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, and reduced magic shred as well. So there was like that time where she was played in the LCS because like she just has infinite wave clear and also you can't trade against her because she could heal herself.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thank God they balanced Soraka, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. Cool. Let's move into mail fight. First email is from Pards. Haley has its Pards. After the recent layoffs and a lot of them being lore people, do we think the MMO is officially dead? Ghostcrawler was the head developer of the MMO, but left after some family tragedy. And now we see, not even a year later, a ton of lore-related layoffs. I think an RPG story is pretty important. Do we think the MMO is going to get canceled? How important is story to an MMO? Would you want to play an MMO set in Runeterra if the story is lackluster? Additionally, what is your experience with MMOs? Assuming everything was hunky-dory when it came out, do you think you would play the League MMO consistently? Thanks, Pards.
Just to give some insight, Ghostcrawler, obviously, Dota and League of Legends dev. Oh wait, did Ghostcrawler work on Blizzard? Oh, like on
he worked
WoW?
On WoW. He worked
yeah,
on WoW.
So WoW and then League of Legends, not Dota. That's fuck the other guy. either way, yeah, he was the head of the. He was heading the League of Legends MMO, and then left during COVID. citing family things, but now it's pretty obvious that there's also just a lot of like, in a large company, there is lots of structure of how stuff has to go through. And it very much seems like from his dev updates for his new studio that being the head of your own studio, you can do whatever the fuck you want. So I think that's probably where most of that comes from. I don't think it means the MMO's canceled. I don't think it means the MMO's going to be bad, the League of Legends one. I think it's just going to take fucking forever. The reality is he started his MMO later and it's probably going to come out first. Just if you're curious, by the way, his MMO is called Project Ghost. It looks pretty cool. I would recommend checking it out. But also, I honestly think the MMO for League of Legends will come out at some point. It's just going to, honestly, man, it's going to be fucking forever.
Yeah, it's going to take a really long time. What's our experience with MMOs? I know that Chris and I played a lot of WoW.
Oh yeah,
I played a lot of an MMO recently.
Which MMO do you play in?
I play a lot of MapleStory.
Oh yeah,
I didn't actually talk about MapleStory, so I play a shitload of MapleStory. And it's
welcome to MapleCast.
I was talking to Colton about this, and I think it's interesting because like MapleStory is the only like, so Korean MMOs are different than Western MMOs in the fact that like level cap isn't actually like level cap. Like if you're gonna play WoW, you hit max level and then you start doing content. Whereas like in Korean MMOs, you're not expected to ever hit like max level. Like max level in MapleStory right now is 300. And that update came out 6 months ago, and no one's 300. The highest level player just hit 299 yesterday, actually, and the next person below him is like 295 or something.
That's unbelievable.
Just as like a heads up, like, so you need 1.7 quadrillion XP to level from 299 to 300, and the halfway point is 292.
How
and it's like it sounds fucked, and it is fucked in some ways. Like there's lots of issues with like MMOs, like Korean MMOs and stuff like that. That being said, you're never gated by content by level, which is a really cool design, right? Like you're not expected to hit max rank to do whatever. Like you can just do end game content at like 270, right? And I think that's a very cool and unique thing that I like about Korean MMOs versus like Western MMOs. So
how much XP per hour would you estimate? Like,
I mean, you get way more the higher you are. But yeah, like, for example, he hit 299 yesterday, or like 2 days ago now, and he's expected, he plays 20 hours a day.
Oh my god!
He's trying to get worlds first, right? And he's gonna hit worlds first by like, he's gonna get worlds first by like 8 months. It's crazy. It's gonna take him 80 days of nonstop playing to get to 300.
My god!
That's so much.
I told you the halfway point's 292, and there's only five players on his server that are above 292, and he's 299.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
Shout out to Nero.
Yeah, I probably have the least experience playing MMOs. I played WoW to like maybe level 40 or so, like way back, and then ended up dropping it, not because I like didn't enjoy it, but because I was like playing on the last dregs of a different person's subscription where they were like, I have this for like 3 more months, you can use it if you want. Hell, if I had the money to continue that, I probably would still be playing WoW today.
Yes, you would.
I when I latch on to a game, you guys know this very well, I latch on hard. And put in an obscene amount of time. I think, you know, I agree with Aiden. I think that League MMO will probably still happen. It will probably still be good. If there's one thing we know about Riot is that they will just cancel things if they don't think they're going to be good and that they're going to work. I, you know, think story. Yeah, story is definitely important in RPGs and MMOs. I think that the story is probably going to be fine. And I think probably equally important to story, right, is like setting and like actual game mechanics, right? Like for an MMORPG to be good, you need to have satisfying game mechanics. You need to have locations that are entertaining to be in and fun to explore. You need to have creatures that are like you want to interact with. And you need a story that keeps you engaged and a reason to go to those places and to explore, right? Like all of those need to be well balanced, I think, for it to be an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it's canned. I'm also not someone who like requires a good story to like appreciate an MMO. Like if the gameplay is really good, like I'll play it. A great example of this is Lost Ark. I don't know what happened in that story at all because it just took too long, so I started skipping things. But if from a gameplay perspective, it's one of the most fun games I've played. But it's you know, another Korean MMO, so you spend a lot of time getting to the end game before you can do fun stuff. So that's what caused me to drop it off.
Yeah. One more thing about the Lee MMO is I do understand the people being scared and worried because Riot laid off 11% of their staff and being, hey, if they're laying off 11% of the staff, why are they going to fund a thing that's probably not going to be out for 5 years? But I understand that concern. That being said, I do think that a large company like that probably looks at like League of Legends being at its peak, and League of Legends isn't growing much more. Like it's already hit its peak. It's not going to surpass that anytime soon. And this is like an MMO is their next thing to keep them in mainstream like games. So I think that's probably how you look at it as a company, even though it is just a shitload of money to be dumping into something that won't be out for, I would say, minimum 5 years.
Yeah, I also think that like in general, companies look at like a new revenue stream very differently from like maintaining or improving an existing revenue stream, and are a lot more willing to dedicate resources to like build this new thing as opposed to like, oh, let's take something existing that is already profitable and try and make it more profitable.
There's something to that. And I think that that's definitely worth mentioning here in this case, is that when you look at somebody like Greg Street, who is not, he doesn't just implement stuff and make them fit and work. He's an ideation guy, like the buck starts there. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he manages the team down. And it's important to remember that Riot already does a lot of that ideation in other places. And it's kind of redundant to some degree when you're looking at things like Arcane, which is set in a very rich environment that is confirmed canon, right? That has all this stuff. Arcane by itself could be a setting for an MMO. They're like, hey, you are here. And then the other parts of the lore that we know about will just be future content. And maybe the show will get there first and it'll flesh some of that out. And then the team that runs the MMO just has to adapt that content, which is very different than building from the ground up, right? Even if it's in an existing setting in a world, right?
You could do an MMO just in Piltover or Zaun.
You could honestly, right? Like, and it could be an Alliance Horde setup where it is Piltover and Zaunites. You know, like that, and it could be that binary system that works really, really well with MMOs, because WoW made it work really well, right? And kind of was a trailblazer. But I play a lot of other MMOs. I've put like 500 hours into New World. I've put like 360 some odd hours into Final Fantasy 14, Guild Wars 2, even Guild Wars 1, and stuff like that. There are so many different ways to do this. That I definitely don't think it is them scrapping it because they could run on literally anything. I really think it's this redundancy thing that they're just trimming the fat in some regard. And it's a shame because Greg Street is a magician.
Yeah. His new thing looks so cool, man. Like I'd really recommend checking it out. Like I know people are like a little worried about procedural generation, but like the whole idea of the new MMO is like there's a shared, not a shared, there's a PvE procedurally generated world where you like farm up and get all your stuff, and then there's a handcrafted PvP side of it. It's like that's really a cool idea for an MMO.
That's awesome. There are a million ways to do a good MMO. There's a bunch out there. Yeah. And yeah, I really think this is just a resource thing. Yeah. Yep.
He seems happy too, so that's cool.
But yeah, if it came out, I would devour this MMO. I love the league lore. It's wonderful. They do a great job. So
you would not be the only person.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks, Bart. Final email for the show. We've got from Big Mike. Hey, LeagueCast crew. I recently got flamed in a game by the enemy AD carry who thought it was unbalanced that I could 100-0 them as Ornn with the triple brittle combo. I do agree with them that tanks like Ornn, Sion, and Amumu do too much damage, but wanted to ask you, if Riot were to drastically tone down damage on tanks, what would you like to see them compensate with? Hope you're enjoying the new season, Big Mike.
I am going to take a controversial stance and say that I think tank damage is 100% fine. Mm-hmm. Because you should just be building some resistances. I think we've moved away from like you have to build pure damages in AD carry because then you do get one shot. But if you, I mean, we've seen like tank Varus, like tank Twitch a little bit, tank Kog'Maw, like build, like either play these characters who can build these items or spec into something that makes tanks unable to kill you because they don't build damage.
I mean, I think most people who complain about like tank damage just haven't played like enough years of League of Legends. That's not to like gatekeep it either. Like I just think like we've seen years where tanks don't do damage, and that's way worse for the game than years where Absolutely. Tanks do damage. Like just them just being these unkillable zero damage things are it's just the worst fucking gameplay I've ever seen.
I mean,
like the good thing about tanks is that a lot of their damage is very avoidable, right? Like that's the mm-hmm. the things they just kind of slowly walk at you and hit you. Like to get triple Ornn combo, he has to hit a pillar behind you. Like I don't know, people just don't respect stuff like that.
To Dynamundo at all, you have to get hit with a cleaver that shouldn't hit you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have expected nothing less from the Kench main, by the way.
Yeah.
I would also say like a lot of tanks have damage that's more like right base value and a lot of like max health or current health damage to allow tanks to interact with each other without like being super overloaded against squishies. And yeah, it's just like if you take that away, you end up with either like unkillable monsters or like super boring top lane matchups where it's like a Maokai spamming Q against his lane opponent until he runs out of mana, but they're both still 60% health.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and that's not fun. You know, there's a world where they could like have tanks do less damage, be a little tankier and have like more CC, but people again would probably complain more about that, right? Like if Maokai W went back to being like a 2 second root, people would cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just see so many, like once again, I hate AD carry players. I always have unapologetically either. I think they're maybe they think about the game less in depth a lot of the time. I think the role is just too hard for most players is like the reality. It's fucking hard. It's a hard role to play, and yeah. I think that's why most people complain about it.
It's a lot of pressure on that role.
But fuck, man, you just like you build the right items, and you just do so much better. Like, there's a tank in the game, so you build tank busting items. Hey, there's a mage in the game, so you build MR items. Like, dude, it's not fucking rocket science. Like, we fucking played Clash this weekend, and I had a game, dude. Those people had a fucking vendetta on me. Like that third game. And guess what? I just built health items. I figured it out. Like, it's so fun. I don't know. I hate AD carry players.
By the way, Aiden, you and me, best bot lane NA. Just saying.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Big Mike. Thank you for listening to the show. Chris, do you want to plug anything?
Oh, yeah. If you like Pokemon, especially Pokemon Go, go listen to GoCast. That's pretty much it. Love being here. Love you guys. League of Legends is fun again. Did you hear?
It's always been fun.
I don't know about that. Maybe my tastes have changed back. Who knows?
True. Your taste buds have reverted.
That's right.
If you want to send us an email, it's been at leakcastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLeonardBlueBasket and LeakCastFrost. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeakCast. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeakCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.